standing and select committees that can enable us to start with the meeting, the joint meeting.
Good morning, Chair. It's Alan. From Standing Committee on Finance, we're 7 members, so that's a quorum, Chair.
From the Select Committee on Finance, we have 6 members, with one apology from Mr. Du Toit.
Okay. So I think we form quorum. Okay, let's start. Thanks very much. Let me officially open the joint meeting of the Standing and the Select Committee on Finance to consider the report on the proposed fiscal framework. Let me welcome the chairperson, Comrade Karim, Comrade Digeledi, members of the Standing Committee Finance, members of the Select Committee Finance, officials from Treasury, from entities that report to Treasury, officials from Parliament, both the NA support team and the NCOP support team, media present, and those who are in attendance, members of the public, you are all welcome. Are there apologies?
From Standing Committee on Finance, no apologies, Chair.
From Select Committee?
Aye, Chair. It's only Mr. Du Toit from the Select Committee.
Okay. We'll have to now consider the report. I don't think we have to go into the long background and issues of public hearing, how Treasury responded and so on. I think we have to go right away to observations and recommendations. But before I proceed, let me welcome Honorable Karim, the chairperson, if ever there are comments that you would want to make. Over to you, chairperson, Comrade Karim.
Thank you, chairperson. No, I don't really have anything to say, except that I should have said to you earlier, and I regret I didn't. We have a 10 o'clock sitting of the NCOP. It's dealing with finance issues. It's dealing with the consequences of social unrest. Many of us in our committee are required to put questions to the minister. So if it is possible, we negotiated with the House Chair on that side that we join them as soon as possible after 10 o'clock. Normally, we finish within an hour or so. Obviously, we can't be prescriptive, but if we can finish by 10, we're very grateful. But just to alert our members on the NCOP side that the House Chair is aware and we should be in the House between 10 and 10:15 if all goes well. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Comrade Karim. We'll try by all means to gallop because I believe that members have gone through this report before this meeting. And so I'm recommending that we go to 8 committee observations and recommendations on the revised and proposed fiscal framework. 8.1. Any comment or clarity seeking question? Agreed.
8.2. Chairperson, I have my hand up. I don't know why it's not being acknowledged. Thanks.
No. Over to you, Dr. George.
Thank you, Chairperson. It may well be covered later on in the report, but I do want to just say that we agree. I just want to put my video on, sorry. We agree that the people are suffering from unemployment and poverty, and that increases in the grants should be considered. But the only way for this to happen is that if our economy grows. The only way you can actually increase grants sustainably is if the economy grows. So I would like to add at the end of the paragraph, because there's a quote from the committee, that action to accelerate economic growth is required to achieve this objective.
Okay, Dr. George, that's the comment and recommendation from Dr. George that we also consider the issue of the economic growth. Honorable Karim.
Chairperson, I agree with him, and I suspect that most of us do. But you see, that's a quotation, Chairperson. We can't obviously interfere with a quotation. That's the way it was then. And also, I think one shouldn't make it inextricably linked to economic growth, because one of the reasons why we have these social grants is because there isn't growth, investment, and jobs. So I don't think we should link them that way. Elsewhere in the report, there is a reference to the need for growth. So if the wording is mild, it mustn't say it's required. Required means it's a precondition, Chairperson. In fact, it's a reverse, Chairperson. If our economy was growing, if there was sufficient investment, if there were jobs, we would not have to provide so many social grants. It's not something I think, Chairperson, the ANC is happy about, that, you know, 46% of the population is receiving grants in some form or another. No other society's got that. It's unsustainable. So we might want to put a milder version there, something to the effect that it would facilitate this if there was greater economic growth, rather than saying it's required. But elsewhere, that issue is covered, as it is always in these reports. We all are unhappy with the growth, investment, and jobs, whichever party we come from. But we can't make it a precondition. I hope I'm being clear, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Karim. Okay, let's move to 8.3. Dr. George.
Thank you, Chairperson. I know that this is not a matter that the committee would agree on, but I do want to make the point that the labor regulatory environment discourages employment. My comment here is that the regulatory environment needs to change to encourage employment. I do know that this view is not shared by the committee, and that we have in the past agreed that we would agree to disagree on it, but I just wanted to raise that point, is that that is my view, that it is the regulatory environment that is getting in the way of employment and therefore is in fact creating poverty. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Honorable Matlango. Comrade Digalet.
Yes, Chair.
Over to you.
Thank you. My apologies for not opening the video, Chair. I have a stable network. I just want to come into the labor regulation. I'm not sure if the issue that Dr. George is raising is relevant to us or is supposed to be dealt with by the Department of Labor and Employment. I'm not sure. And he made a comment before he started to say we might not agree with it. I think he's aware that this might not be relevant to us whilst not disagreeing with that we might identify other issues that might help in terms of the financial status, but are not relevant to our committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Matlango. Honorable Karim.
Chairperson, I'm guided obviously by the majority, but the norm has been, and we, we had a discussion with Legal Services Unit, and if anybody wants clarity, Frank might be here and can clarify, or anybody else from that unit. It is a right of any party to have its say. So what we normally do, Mr. George will know, he was in the committee in the last term for a while, on the NCOP side, I think, is that we say towards the end is the DA draws attention to the following, and we give them a few lines. So there's no harm in him saying what he said. I don't know whether it belongs here or to the Labour Committee, but what we've done before, but again, the majority can decide. I don't have any strong view. We usually say, well, you know, while the matter is before the, while this matter falls there, it's linked to economy and it's linked to growth. And the DA can send you and me, Chairperson, a paragraph where they set out the views that they feel strongly about. That's what we've done before, Chairperson, but I'll leave it to you to process.
Okay. I think we'll do as you suggest, but we'll have to get the view of the majority as to what is it, because at the end we'll have to adopt this report. So there must be a clear vision as to what are the issues that are contained in the recommendations that we are adopting. So I think that should be the case. Let's move to 8.4. Great. 8.5. Agreed. 8.6. Agreed. 8.7. Agreed. 8.8. Agreed. 8.9.
I'm Chairperson. I did have a comment on 8.8.
Okay, over to you, Dr. George.
Thank you, Chair. The minister in his speech said that there would be tough love with the state-owned enterprises. It wasn't actually in the speech, but he said it while he was speaking. And we completely agree with that sentiment of the minister that the state-owned enterprises do require that because they've been very undisciplined for a long time. And we put a lot of money on them. So we would support the view of the minister that so-called tough love is required for the state-owned enterprises and that additional bailouts and allocations must end. I know this is also related to 8.9, where there was reference to clarifying what the minister actually said, that the tough love apparently does not mean that there would be additional allocations or bailouts. But we didn't hear from the minister because he was absent in the first meeting that was scheduled after the budget. And also then subsequent to that, he did not appear before the committee. So we've never had the opportunity to actually talk to the minister and ask him what was actually meant. The deputy minister was there, but not the minister. So it is a bit of a conundrum for me, because I would have liked to have clarified it. But suffice to say, on 8.8, I would just like to point out that we support the view of the minister that there should be tough love, and that the bailouts and additional allocations must end, because that is obviously the prudent way to do the budget. So that is all I wanted to say on 8.8. And then 8.9, I've made my point. I know I'm a bit of a head here, but that is, they are interrelated, is that the minister never appeared before the committee. So we actually couldn't ask him what he actually meant by it. So I'm not sure whether that paragraph 8.9 is in fact a correct reflection of what the minister was actually saying to the people of South Africa at the budget, at his MTVPS speech. Thanks, Chair. So I've covered on 8 and 9 already. Thank you.
Okay, Dr. George, as you have said that it would have been ideal for the minister to have appeared before the committee to clarify his statement. Though you have moved ahead of the chairperson, the 8.9 makes a recommendation that we should first confer with the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprise on a joint briefing on SOE restructuring by DPE and National Treasury. So I don't think it will be ideal for us to take a decision that we stop, we make a recommendation to Parliament that bailouts should come to an end. Otherwise, there will be no need of the meeting that is recommended on 8.9. So I think let's agree with the recommendation on 8.9 that we have the meeting with the relevant department and Treasury to give us a full briefing, and then we take it from there. Okay.
Chair.
Honorable Makang.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think I'm covered and with your motivation on 8.9, that let's implement this recommendation so that the decision that we take is informed, and also considering what Dr. George have said, that we never had an opportunity to clarify or to give the minister an opportunity to clarify what how the tough love is going to be. But 8.9, I think, covers that. The decision we take will be informed. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Matlango. And I will prefer that when we meet our colleagues from other portfolio committee dealing with public enterprises, the two ministers should be there. The Minister DPE and Minister Finance. So, Secretariat, talk to your colleagues in the Standing Portfolio Committee, Public Enterprises, and the two ministers to be available by the time we meet to deal with issues of SOEs. Thanks. 8.10. Agreed. 8.11. Dr. George.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, we certainly agree that there is a problem with the power generation, and that the power outages continually interrupt our economy and therefore interrupt economic growth. There is a discussion here about on the paragraph about private sector generation, and we certainly support that. But when it makes reference to basically being a crisis, which it is, we do need some urgent action. And for a very long time, we have been speaking about splitting ESCOM into different entities, specifically for distribution, well, basically for generation, transmission, and distribution. That process apparently has been initiated and may well take a very, very long time. But the CEO of ESCOM has actually stated that we're looking at a dead horse here. And if that is the case, then no amount of intervention is actually going to fix the problem. So we do have a long-term energy crisis in South Africa that is not going to go away soon. So I do think that certainly this committee needs to express the fact that this matter is very urgent. And we've been saying that for a very long time because we've been having power failures since, I think, 2008 already, which is a very long time. So, I mean, we can keep saying it over and over again, but then we get nowhere with it. That does seem a little pointless. So although we certainly welcome the fact that private sector generation is going to potentially increase, it certainly isn't enough. So my comments on that would be that there should be an immediate and urgent intervention, which would include splitting up ESCOM into three entities for generation, transmission, and distribution. And that there should be an increase in the permitted private sector production. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for your comments, Dr. George. 8.13. Eight point 14, 8.15, 8.16, 8.17. 8.18, 8.19, 8.20, 8.21, 8.22, 8.23, Dr. George.
Thank you, Chair. On this issue of the public sector wage bill, I think that for quite a long time, there has been discussion on the size of the public sector wage bill. And the previous minister also said that there was going to be an intervention. That intervention we didn't see, because the wage bill continues unabated, yet productivity remains tepid at best. We've long said that the salaries of the frontline public servants, for example, the nurses and the teachers and the doctors, et cetera, the people on the frontline service delivery, that in some instances they are too low and that those salaries should be increased. It is the management section of the public sector that appears to be bloated and overpaid. And it is there that significant cuts are required. I know that view is also not shared in this committee. However, I wanted to state the point that our view is that it does need to be close attention to the public sector wage bill, not with a view to cutting salaries, for example, or personnel on the front line of service delivery, but certainly having a look at inefficiency and looking at those people who are employed in the public sector at senior positions and high salaries who are not adding the value that they should be. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Dr. George. Honorable Abraham.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much. I just want to apologize in advance, Chair, because I see now that we are in 823 other issues.
Yes.
Can you confirm? Oh, okay. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to apologize and say that my gadget was giving me problems earlier on. I wanted to have just a slight comment on page 817. There, Chair, I just wanted to add something that says after the first sentence where we say a primary budget surplus by 2024-25, we insert a sentence that says the committee notes that public submissions have questioned whether this should be the primary focus of the fiscal strategy. Because the Chair, I think that view did really cut across the. Can we go to 817, Chair, please, if you don't mind? Alan, can you guys take me there? Thank you. Yes. I would like to make that kind of a submission that the submissions have questioned whether a fiscal policy should be the primary focus of the fiscal strategy. And as you come to the end of the same point 2.7, let me see, it says the committee welcomes these robust engagements and believes that National Treasury should continuously consider the views of stakeholders and meet with them even outside parliament processes in order to find each other. Chair, I didn't think that sentence is assisting in any way. I think that recommendation 8.7 could do without that comment, because we have already stated that there has been engagements, and at the end of the day, the engagements were between the stakeholders and the portfolio committee, and the portfolio committee facilitated the engagement of the stakeholders with National Treasury. Further, we cannot dictate to National Treasury that they should find each other with the stakeholders. Let the stakeholders be autonomous to a point of being able to raise the issues that they want to raise with National Treasury. That attention does not, between stakeholders and government, does not have to be a negative tension, but we understand that there'll always be issues that they want to raise. So, Chair, I think that last sentence for me should be deleted. And when it comes to 8.3, where we are currently, let me just get there, Chair. 8.23, yes. The last sentence that says the committee reiterates its view that it believes that government needs to find, okay, maybe let me put it the way I have refined it to read thus. The committee reiterates its views that it believes that government needs to find one another given the impact that it has on the MTEF. I think the emphasis there for me is the impact on the MTEF. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Nuksi. Honorable Ryder.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So I do want to partly agree with Honorable Abraham and say that that last sentence in 8.17, it doesn't necessarily read correctly. And I also had a little star note next to it. And I don't think we need to find each other. I think perhaps we need to better understand each other. So deleting the sentence might not be the best way to go, because I do think that we spoke about having meetings and having further engagements. But if we could amend that last sentence to say and meet with them even outside the parliamentary processes in order to better understand each other, I think that would probably cover what was discussed, what the feeling, general feeling was, and also take care of Honorable Abraham's concerns. So just to try and better understand each other's positions. That's my input on that. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Ryder. We'll find a way of paraphrasing that paragraph to accommodate the comments of the members. 8.24, 8.25. Honorable Ryder.
Thanks very much, Chair. Chair, I did think that the FSCA needed to possibly be included in that discussion. I think when we were discussing it, we said various entities, and I think the FIC and the FSCA would both play a role here. Just my suggestion that we include FSCA, or maybe say so to get to include the FSCA in the presentation to us, please.
Okay, Honorable Ryder. 826. 827. 828. There we are. I think now we have reached a stage where Honorable George and Honorable Ryder, before I move to the next item.
Thank you, Chairperson. During the course of our meeting or our engagements, we had what I thought was a little uncomfortable exchange between the Parliamentary Budget Office and the National Treasury, where it seemed as if the relationship had become somewhat strained, which is very unfortunate and I think very much unacceptable. We then agreed that there would be a discussion held between the Parliamentary Budget Office and the National Treasury. And I think that that is a very good thing, because if they do have any simmering tensions, they shouldn't bubble to the surface in a public place, and certainly not at the committee. But be that as it may, hopefully the problem would be resolved. I do not know whether we want to comment in our report on the fact that the Parliamentary Budget Office and the National Treasury would meet, because we certainly don't want to have a situation arise again when we do meet and then where they had possibly agreed to get together at some point that they never do. That is not, not constructive in terms of time usage, etc. So I'm proposing that perhaps we need to say something about that. They will meet. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thanks, Dr. George. Is that not an operational matter that I don't think we have to? Because if we report to National Assembly and NCOP, we are reporting to the public. But issues of how the two entities relate, I think is something that as committees we can manage. We have got the capacity to do that. But of course, we have to respect the independence of Parliament from the executive. So let's find a way of managing that relationship, I think, without going to Parliament, as if we don't have the capacity to do so. Let's first do it ourselves and then see how far we can find a way of them working together, but respecting the independence of Parliament, because PBO represent is a support team of Parliament, which is independent from the executive. Honorable Raida, Honorable Karim, Honorable Abraham.
Yadu.
Is it Honorable Njandu?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Sorry for interrupting. After the other members.
Okay. Honorable Raida.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I think it's generally a reasonably satisfactory report. There are, however, three items that came up in discussion which I don't feel are really fully captured. Had we had a little bit more time, I think I would have maybe put us a formal submission or suggestions of some things. But if I can just say that the three issues that I want to touch on that were covered in our discussions that haven't really come out in the report. The first one is the fairly low allocations to the contingency fund that are planned in the medium term. And that really does talk to fiscal policy. So it's not an appropriations issue. I think it talks to fiscal policy. If we're not putting away for a rainy day or for a car accident, I think that we are setting ourselves up for a little bit of future unhappiness. Should we have any of these nasty events happening to us, like has happened to us over the last little period? So I think that the low contributions to the contingency fund are something that was highlighted in the discussions and was previously mentioned. I don't see it in the report unless I've missed it, and that's also very possible. The next thing, and it came out quite strongly in both the Outer and the Saika presentations, the fact that there is a need to restructure and reevaluate government spending. And of course, I also pointed out that there are, in fact, two places in the medium-term budget policy statement that specifically reaffirm the zero-based budgeting approach and the fact that this is going to be piloted on the Public Enterprises Department. I note that that's not included. And then, of course, the one issue that Saika mentioned about the cautioning around the contingent liabilities specifically relating to the SOEs and the need to ensure that those are contained. Those three issues I don't feel have been adequately expressed, Chairperson. I was hoping that we could find a way of including something on each in the report.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Raida. Honorable Karim?
Thanks, Chairperson. Actually, if I recall correctly, and I may be wrong, maybe it was on the NCOP side, we did ask Treasury to meet with the PBO before. And as I understand it, again, I could be wrong, nothing stops us. We have the power to request them to meet within a month or 3 months, but I'll go by what you're saying. There's no need for that. We will manage it outside of putting it in our report. That's okay. What I would like to suggest then, based on what you've said, is that we write a joint letter to Treasury and PBO and tell them that we would like them to meet within the next 4 to 6 weeks so that we don't keep having this issue. I don't want to go back to that debate, only to say that what PBO was saying is par for the course. One doesn't have to agree with them. They have a right to have their own independent views. They can't thrust it down us or Treasury. The committee decides, we hear everybody. So I do think this is long overdue, Chairperson, and I do think we should consider writing a letter telling both of them that they should meet. Thanks.
Okay. I hope the National Treasurer and PBO are here in the platform. They are listening to what members are saying, and the director of PPO, Dr. Jankis, and the DG of National Treasury should find a way of handling this matter amicably, but respecting each other's terrain as provided for by the legislation and the constitution. So let's take it from there, as Honorable Karim recommends. Honorable Abraham, then Honorable Njandu.
Yes, Chair, I'm partly covered by the issues that have been raised by members, especially around the issue around what happened between PBO and National Treasury. And I think basically it tells you that you've got an outstanding kind of workshop that needs to happen just to clarify roles. So that, because sometimes the PBO office has not always been there. And sometimes there may be a conflict in terms of how the duties are performed. And I think not because we want to educate them in terms of how the entities work, but just a platform that will be created for all these formations to find one another. The financial sector formations to find one another. For me, Chair, mentioning it here in the report would be a lot of detail. And it really also relieves me to hear that they are part of this meeting and they are able to hear what kind of discussion is taking place because of a concern that members have around what took place in the meeting. But I think, Chair, it should not only be a question of them meeting, but it should also be a question of an element or a portion of the committee also forming part of that kind of meeting so that we also satisfy ourselves that indeed the meeting was able to achieve the purpose for which it was convened. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Noxin. Honorable Njandu.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Yes, Chairperson, I also wanted to make input on that point, which was covered earlier by Honorable Karim, but just to say that I think it may be a matter of roles and responsibilities and also independency of the two institutions. So then I would then further suggest to say that the matter to be managed by the two chairpersons of the two committees of the different houses. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Njandu. I think we should also bring on board the FFC because it's a constitutional structure that also plays a role in regard to making recommendations on the issues of budget. And they do come to report to Parliament and make an invaluable contribution to the budget. So let's extend it to include the FFC as to who's supposed to do what. Because this is a matter that has also been raised even by the late Professor Daniel Plakis, that it looks like the recommendations that they make as FFC are not taken into consideration, despite the fact that they are a constitutional structure. So above what comrades and members are recommending, let's also bring the FFC on board. Thanks very much, honorable members. We're going into the adoption of the of the report. So we go separate ways now, Alan and Kulek.
That's right, Chair. Standing finance adopts, and then after that, obviously, adopts with moving and seconding, and then after that, the Select Committee on Finance does that as well.
Okay. Honorable members of the Standing Committee Finance, having considered the 2021 revised fiscal framework and 2022-23-24-25 proposed fiscal framework, the Standing Committee on Finance adopt the 2021 revised fiscal framework and 2022-23-24-25 proposed fiscal framework as presented. Anyone to move for the adoption from the Standing Committee Finance? Honorable George.
Chair, I did not want to move for the adoption. I just wanted to state that the DA would reserve our position. Thank you.
Thanks. Honorable Nkomo Zanel.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the report.
Honorable Nkomo moves for the adoption. Honorable Abraham, then I will come to Honorable Vessels.
I second.
Honorable Abraham seconds. Honorable Vessels.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson. The Freedom Front Plus also wants to reserve its position at this stage, so please note that.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Vessels. The report has been adopted with reservations from FF Plus and DA, respectively. Over to you, Honorable Karim. Thanks very much.
Okay, Cabinet Chair, thank you. Obviously, the Standing Committee members can leave. We're just going through the process. As advised by our very efficient and formal secretary, Nkululeko, I'm going to read this out. This will obviously appear at the top for both committees. Having considered the 2021 revised fiscal framework and the 2022-23-24-25 proposed fiscal framework, the Select Committee on Finance adopts the 2021 revised fiscal framework and the proposed fiscal framework as presented. So mover and seconder, please.
I move, Chairperson.
Thank you. It's such an honor to have somebody like you move. Is there a seconder?
I second, Chair. Jadu.
Thank you. Equally an honor, yeah. Okay, over to the reserves. Dennis,
not reserve, please, Chair.
Okay. Simon Molitsane, you're a reserve, right?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, EFF reserves its position.
As your spokesperson, I spoke on your behalf already, but you spoke.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much.
And I also am the spokesperson, self-appointed of Fani Jutoy. While he's not here, we take it that their position is reserved. I'm not sure that we can say that in the report when the person's not here, but we just note it for the minutes, not for the report. So thank you all, and let's go and fight now with the NCOP. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Chair.